Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's time to tee it high and let it fly on the Tee Florida.
I demand satisfaction.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network, live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Prescott?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf.
He's got to be pleased with Dad.
From PGA to NCAA. And now...
Well, we're waiting.
Let's tee off with Mike Rickard, Oscar Gamer, and John Rieger.
Good morning and welcome to On the Tee Florida on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. And we're streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com on this February 25th. I'm Mike Rickard, head of the Hack Nation, as I tee it up with my good buddy John Rieger up there in clear. Geez, I can't even read my writing, and I'm having technical difficulties, so you have to hold on just for a little bit. Crescent Beach, Florida. There we go. Everything just went out on me. Sorry, folks. Anyway, you're listening from the Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, and we'll get this thing on track. I just hit one into the drink, and I'm going to drop, and we'll be back in the game. Anyway, each and every week, we bring in the PGA champions, LPGA, collegiate and high schools in the Sunshine State, the mecca of golf. And we got a great show, as we always do. We're brought to you by Sea Dogs Brewery, Shipyard Beer, and Ice Pick Vodka. And we'll be talking to golf comedian Kerry McNally and businessman. He'll be on in a few minutes. But right now, let's bring into the conversation while I factor in the I got a big handicap today, my friend, so you're going to have to even have numerous cleanups in aisle 6, or is it aisle 9? John Rieger joins us right now.
Hey, it's just great to be on the air, and yes, it is Crescent Beach, Florida. It's a beautiful day up here, and looking forward to talking to you and Kerry about a lot of things happening in the golf world. But as we always start out, we always do the Wild Bill Golf Weather Report, brought to you by Yanking Crank Extreme Fishing Fashion. And we're doing this weather report from the Backyard Golf Association. That's Bill's course in Gainesville, Florida. And he's got a weather station set up there right now. It feels like 76 degrees. It's going to go up to 85 today. And humidity is about 66%. And the winds are west out of the 4 miles per hour. So it's a great day for backyard golf. It's a great day for golfing, period. And the weather conditions are just about the same all over the state of Florida. So after you listen to our show and after you listen to the Tampa Bay Sports Connection after our show, go out and tee it high and let it fly.
Well, they certainly are doing that down at the Honda Classic, and that's an event you and I can talk a little bit about. And it just, unfortunately, it seems it's lost its luster, and it's lost its title sponsor after 20-plus-some years. And one of my favorite events, well, Zach Johnson won, and he actually played very well on day one. But it's sad to see with the realignment of golf. It's kind of like the realignment of college football and the conferences changing. You know, it's just part of the future and the growth of the game and the decisions they had to make. But it's still kind of sad to watch, isn't it, John?
Well, what happens is it's the flow of the tournament schedule, meaning that where they schedule these tournaments, then unfortunately for them, they're put in between elevated events. For example, coming up next week is the Arnold Palmer Invitational, so that's an elevated event, as it was this past week out at Riviera Country Club in Los Angeles. So those tournaments that aren't elevated events aren't going to get the star power, but it's possible to play in every event on the PGA Tours. Some of these folks, like Ricky Fowler, I think he took the week off because he'd been out there like 5 straight weeks in a row. So the Honda Classic, though, it's actually hosted by Jack and Barbara Nicklaus. So it's his tournament. It's well attended. The money they raise for their local charity and their hospitals there is absolutely outstanding. So the players that do get to play, usually a little bit younger. Seth Straka won it last year and was able to get his first PGA Tour win there. And it was really bizarre. I remember watching that tournament. And on the last hole, the weather was beautiful. And all of a sudden, right in the middle of the hole, a torrential downpour came for about 5-10 minutes. And then it cleared up again. It was quite the finish out there. But, yes, the Honda Classic's going on right now. It's at PGA National Golf Club, which used to be the home of the PGA of America. Used to be their home golf course. But now it is in Frisco, Texas. The PGA has Ryder Cups and PGA Championships and all kinds of things planned out there just outside Dallas, Texas. So the Honda Classic is shaping up, though, to be a good tournament. Do you have the leaderboard in front of you there, Mike?
Right now, we've got Justin Suh sitting on top at 10 under. Chris Kirk, who had a sizzling 62 the other day, he's sitting one back at 9 under. And then you've got the LPGA taking place in Thailand. And our own Nellie Korda from Bradenton, she's sitting in 7th position at 13 under. And unfortunately, I was watching a lot of that live at 1 a.m. when I couldn't sleep this morning.
Well, I can tell you that there's a lot of storylines from a lot of the tournaments, but back to the Honda Classic, I was reading about Adam Long, who hit it in the water a foot short on this particular hole at PJ National, and he went from, like, in the top 10 of the tournament down to, like, dropped 6 to 8 places and missed the cut. It's actually posted on PJ Tour on the Twitter page, and you can watch the brutalness, or kind of remind me of our show opening when, we couldn't get you to pronounce Crescent Beach. Well, this guy can't hit a ball out of the water, and it was really painful what he did, and it's dramatic how you can drop 68 spots in a tournament on one hole and miss the cut. But they call this the bear trap. You know, if you follow the John Rager Report on Golf Business and Lifestyle, you'll see that I post on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram something of interest through the week. And so one of the things we posted this week was the bear trap at the Honda Classic. And it's the string of holes, 16, 17, 18, that Jack Nicklaus actually has a plaque erected there with a giant bear. And on the plaque, it reads a quote from Jack Nicklaus that says, the tournament in the bear trap is either going to be won or lost on these particular holes. So it's really something to watch, especially coming down the track. A local pro from Gainesville, Florida, Tyson Alexander actually made a few birdies coming down the stretch on the bear trap and made the cut at even par. So it's very entertaining to watch. It's probably the holes you want to watch. It's like watching Augusta on the back nine. You know, like the Amen Corner, those are the holes you really want to watch. Well, the bear trap are the holes you want to watch today at the Honda Classic.
Well, and the LIV, do you got that leaderboard anywhere?
We lost
all my power on my studio here for about a half an hour, so that's where I was rallying around.
Well, yes, I do, and part of the John Rager Report this week was the Live Golf. The Stars have been kicking off, and they're there at Myop. Okay, you're going to have to help me pronounce this. You ready?
Mayakoba,
Mexico. There we go.
My God, and I actually had to help you out once.
Well, I'm trying to, it's hard to do these different dialects. Golf has become such an international sport right now. You really have to phone up on your phonetics. You know, it's been a while since I spent 25 years on the Champions Tour as an announcer. You know, we would actually practice pronouncing names before we got to the first tee. That didn't mean that we would not keep screwing up people's name. I can tell you that. There was a guy named Rocky Thompson, and he won the tournament that year. But he's the mayor of a small town in Texas. Believe it or not, I think he owns the town, and it's Toco, Texas. And I practiced all week, making sure I could pronounce all the names correctly. And sure enough, I got on the first tee and I announced Taco, Texas.
And that makes me feel good. And not at your expense, but I'm not the only one that fumbles, stumbles, and bumbles, and I can't remember. And I've only said it 1,000 times that we're live from Crescent Beach, Florida. But when all of a sudden your screen goes dead, you get a little flustered. Why don't we
fluster himself
and bring some humor into the conversation? Of course, he's our resident comedian, golf fan, fanatic, businessman, and he's the one and only Kerry McNally. He's kind enough to join us on this Saturday morning on the T Florida, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios. That's all part of the opening, Kerry, that I absolutely butchered. And in the comedy show world, I would have been yanked off the stage within about 4 seconds. You would have gave me the hook.
Oh, no, we would never give you the hook, my brother. Not at all. I'm really excited to be with you guys today on Saturday, because, John, you and I talked about this earlier in the week, and as you may know, Mike, I played Old Memorial on Monday of this week.
Well, John, you need to share stories there, because I'm a par 3 9-hole guy kind of guy. I never get invited to the mucky muck courses. So you guys share your experiences at Old Memorial while us common folk listen.
Well, Kerry, let me ask you a couple questions about Old Memorial. you know, a lot of times, you know, when you're listening to people talk about golf on the air, you know, sometimes you got to be careful because you don't want to have to take everybody around all 18 holes and go blow by blow, stroke by stroke. You know, we have an expression in golf. It's called, do I have to put my spikes on for this round? But I really want you to tell our listeners about your experience, your day at Old Memorial Golf Club, because it's one of those places the average person just does not get to play. They hear about it. It's probably one of the top premier golfing clubs. And I say golfing clubs, no tennis or swimming. It's just pure golf. And the owners of Old Memorial, the ones who founded Outback Steakhouse, I used to work for them. And I can tell you that they've collected all the best of the best from all the clubs that they're members of throughout the country. In fact, Chris Sullivan, he owns part of Pebble Beach. So, Carrie, tell us about your day on Saturday, because I think our listeners would appreciate your perspective on it.
Yeah, and it's important for everybody out there to know that I'm a very humble guy from humble beginnings. Both of my parents were school teachers. I did not swing a golf club in high school because it was too expensive, frankly, and my father was a tennis player. It just so happened that my eldest brother, he had a set of old golf clubs, and I was a lefty baseball hitter, and then I was forced to hit a golf ball righty because that's all they had. I don't know if they even had lefty golf clubs back then when we were kids, but nevertheless, I really took up the game of golf in my 40s and decided to take my athletic ability and go to a four-day clinic in Vero Beach and eventually became a single-digit handicap guy. And But like I said, I don't belong to a country club at all. I'm hoping to possibly join the St. Pete Country Club here in the next couple of months as we look to buy a place near that area. But, you know, John, you've been there. It is a mecca. It is a sanctuary. It is a very, very, very special place. And as you mentioned, there is no pool. There are no tennis courts, no pickleball courts. It is a golf course with a phenomenal practice facility. It almost seems like it's hidden north of the airport. It's almost impossible to find without a GPS. And, of course, we went to this fantastic practice facility. And as we were driving back for our tee time, here comes this gorgeous, very expensive, multi-million-dollar corporate helicopter. And I'm thinking, where is this pilot going to land, and who's on this helicopter? And sure enough, he landed right by the clubhouse. And Steph Curry's brother got out with the two friends. I'm sure one of them was a member of the club. And that was kind of exciting. And that's the kind of feel that the place has. And then you are not allowed to take a cart without a medical exemption. And even though I probably qualified for one, having gotten a total hip replacement on the 30th of November, I chose to walk. You have to have your own individual caddy. You can't have a four caddy. I had a great guy named Riff, and I was very stiff with Riff for the first couple of holes. It was the first time I had actually hit balls since my hip replacement. And then about the third or fourth hole, I started to get in the groove, and my game came back. And I cannot remember a more emotional, more fulfilling, and more satisfying and fun time on the golf course than I had on Monday at Old Memorial.
I have one question before John responds. If I would have gone up to that first tee, saw the track, saw the layout, would I just turn around and got back in the clubhouse and had a nice pick vodka?
I think an ice pick vodka would have been a good choice. No, I think all golfers of all skill level are welcome out there. If you can find a member that would like to have you as a guest, it is an incredibly challenging golf course. John, you can speak to the first five holes. It's like the numbers are astronomical.
Well, what happens is that I think that once you get past the first five holes, you're thoroughly demoralized anyway, and you loosen up, and you have an extra ice pick vodka, and you just have fun the rest of the day.
Yeah, it was really fun.
I wouldn't have an extra. I'd have a bottle, boys. I can assure you that.
Yeah, so if you ever hear that you know somebody or you've heard somebody that might be able to get you out on Old Memorial, or if you have the means to join the 2.5-year waiting list, I would say go for it, because I've been fortunate enough to play Cape Kidnappers and Kauri Cliffs in New Zealand and Pebble Beach about six or seven times and Whistling Straits, and I could go on and on. Old Memorial is in my top five. Walking away. It's not even a contest.
Well, let me ask you a question. Did you say 2.5 year waiting list to get on that track?
To just be a member, to actually apply for the membership. And I've heard numbers like 100,000, 150,000 initiation bandied around.
That's Rager money.
Yeah.
Hey, I can tell you, I guarantee, I know that, you know, Tom Brady's gone now from Tampa Bay, but I guarantee you that the day he flew in on his helicopter new to Tampa Bay, he probably moved right up the list, the number one on the waiting list, probably. That's happens out there.
I bet you, but I would welcome an opportunity to play that golf course again because I left a lot of shots out there. You know, whenever you play a golf course, John, you can speak to this, you're probably going to give up 5 to maybe 10 shots just from a lack of local knowledge. And the way they design that golf course, it's so beautiful with all of these really gorgeous white sand traps. Every hole looks like an oil painting, and yet it's also incredibly deceiving distance-wise, and the wind was blowing at about 10, 12 knots that day. So when you were in the face of that wind, you really had to take an extra or even another club. But I had one of the best golfing experiences of my life. And, of course, it's also a testament to my surgeon, Dr. Francesca Schwartz down at Fort Myers. If you're looking to get your hip replaced, look her up. She is a phenomenal surgeon. And, I was very emotional to be able to finish on that left side and hold a nice high finish, like Chevy Chase and Caddyshack, and then fall over. But no, I didn't fall over.
Hi, bro. I got a question for you. Remember, our audience is a bunch of hacks, too. You just gave wind at knots. You think they know what knots equate to? Could you dumb it down a little bit for my audience?
When I heard the knots also, our listeners may not realize Kerry's background. Not only is he a filmmaker and a comedian and a Renaissance man, he's a veteran. I believe you were an aviator in the Marine Corps, I believe, because that's why you'd use the word knots versus Bob Marine Corps.
Actually, no, I was not, to be perfectly honest. I didn't get my pilot's license until a few years after I got out of the Marine Corps. It was a lifelong dream of mine as a boy growing up. But I was not an aviator. I was a communication center operator at 2542, which was my MOS. But then my last year, I was on Armed Forces Radio and Television Service. If you've ever seen the movie Good Morning Vietnam, I was kind of like that guy, Adrian Cronauer, and I hosted a show called Good Morning Okinawa.
Well, that's pretty good. We got to record a new opening for On the Tee Florida now. You know, you've got to go get to the studio and get that in the hopper. Good morning.
We'll do that, boys. Hey, we got to take a quick break, and I got a special guest sitting in front of me that you're going to meet in June, John Rager. I've got Jack Doc Bodo from Companion Coffee, and I'm telling you what, we're gonna be promoting his event. So we got to take a break, Kerry. Thanks for taking a few minutes. I know you're busy as heck this morning.
You bet.
And we'll see you down here next week at the 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Mike. Keep it in short grass. Love you guys.
It's a pleasure.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back here on the Tee Florida live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios on a Chamber of Commerce Saturday in downtown St. Pete.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the Tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is Mike Rickard, and I personally want to welcome our new supporter and partner, my Iowa friend, Barb with Champa Bay. Barb Grossenheider is with First Class Real Estate Gulf to Bay, and Barb brings her Midwest work ethic, her integrity, her commitment to every client, combined with her knowledge as she grew up in a family of home construction success for decades. Barb's energy and her bubbly personality take the stress out of the challenge of home buying in today's difficult market. I assure you, I've recommended her to my friends, and I look forward to spreading her professional service to all of Champa Bay. So reach out today with Barb from Champa Bay, barbwithchampabay@gmail.com, or give her a call at 813-564-4134. That's Barb with Champa Bay. Give her a call today, 813 564-4134.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront, ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club Rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back on the tee, Florida, on this 25th of February, 2023. I'm Mike Rickert, head of the Hack Nation. John Rager's up there in Crescent Beach, Florida. That's how it's supposed to roll off my tongue at the opening of the show. When you have power, it sounds good. And, of course, always great to have Kerry McNally. He's our new comedian, golfer, broadcaster, part of our long-term plan, and Tom Gribbins will be as well. And John Rager is a huge part of it, and he's with us each and every Saturday. And now, this gentleman and I have we've been communicating back and forth for about 7 months, I would say.
At least that.
He's Jack Doc Bodo, let's do a little bio on you.
So I was a Gulf War veteran. I was a combat medic. So after I got out of the service, I was really kind of lost with how, you know, I always wanted to take care of my brothers and sisters. And, I started with, Companion Animal Foundation and really didn't know what to do with it. I was, didn't want to do what everybody else does. The SPCAs and everybody else provides, you know, spay and neuter clinics and vaccine clinics. So I was lucky enough to be invited to BAMSI Medical Center down in San Antonio, Texas, where I did my AIT by another fellow combat medic, Art Liker, to go and hang out with Gary Sinise for the day. And
I bet he's the coolest cat on the planet.
Oh, my God. That guy is like, you know, he's amazing. I can't say enough good stuff about him. He does amazing work for veterans, and it's amazing. If it wasn't for him, I would have never founded Warrior Companion. He did it by accident. I was invited there as kind of like a VIP / ex-veteran to come to one of his events to kind of see what he does with our wounded when they come home from war and their disabilities and their rehabilitation. And I really never wanted to see that, but it was great that I did. So I kind of followed him around for the day, and at the very end of the day, several times I kind of wanted to leave because I don't want to see that anymore, you know? I'm glad I stuck it out. I'm glad that my friends told me to stick it out because otherwise Warrior Companion would have never been founded. And how Warrior Companion was founded was there was the very last veteran. He was in one of those mobilized wheelchairs, which carried all his medical devices he needed. And Gary was spending time with him. And while Gary was spending time with that veteran, that he had a service animal there, was Golden Retriever. The Golden Retriever just kind of migrated back towards the family. He had a beautiful wife and two children. And the dog was hanging out. The service animal was hanging out with the family. And then when Gary was done with that veteran, and I watched something amazing happened. It was like kind of like God kind of just spoke to me. As he changed his direction to the family, that dog changed his direction to the veteran. That's in the, you know, the one that he was there for.
Gotcha.
And that dog circled around in between, you know, all the people in the room, and he slid his head up underneath the veteran's right arm that he only had three fingers left on. And that was my come to Jesus.
That was your come to Jesus moment?
Yeah.
You just gave me goosebumps, brother.
I got him too. And I, every time I tell this story, it's amazing to me. It's like, it was like right then and there was the birth of Warrior Companion. And what Warrior Companion is, you know, we provide these veterans with everything. We give them cars, we give them homes, we give them service animals, we give them everything else, but they don't have to give them any way to maintain them. And all these guys are on a very fixed income. I don't know if people realize that 100%, they get $4,000 a month, which doesn't go
I've got a stepson that has that gets the $4,000, and yeah, it doesn't go very far at all.
And animals, you know, the care and the veterinarian care of those animals. I've been in the veterinary care industry for 30 years. My wife's a veterinarian. And I watched the cost of veterinarian care just skyrocket it over the last, not even 10 years, but 5 years. It's been over the top insane. So that's when my little light came on finally, because, you know, I'm an ex-Army guy and not too bright anyway, right? Because well, I volunteered
I'm
to go
not,
in.
I'm always not the brightest bulb in the room, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, it took that moment to make me realize what my purpose in life was to be. And that's why I formed Warrior Companion. And then we provide pet insurance for service animals for disabled veterans and first responders, because not our heroes don't go overseas. We have heroes here at home.
Absolutely.
So that's why we did that. And I am horrible of asking people for money. And that's how I came up with the coffee company.
So the coffee company, it's fabulous coffee cup. Coffee, by the way, folks, Companion Coffee. I've been blessed by Gary sending me Gary's instrumental in you starting it. So how's that?
That's awesome. He should get the credit.
Yeah. So Doc sent me some, and now I just got another shipment. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And my girlfriend was ecstatic when it arrived because she is a coffee snob. And said, this is fabulous stuff. What are the ties to the world of golf then? Our buddy, your buddy, Michael Furs, of course.
My God, Michael.
He's probably listening right now.
He probably is.
We got to get. Is he coming to your tournament?
He is. He's going to be there.
Well, John Rager.
Five-time world record.
Oh, yeah, he's a character.
He's the only guy that has the longest stick that I know.
Yeah. Well, we are a PG show, but I fumble, stumble occasionally. You threw a curve at me on that one. And that is hilarious. But Michael Furs, we've had him on several times, folks, and he's the Guinness Book of World Records trick shot for the longest driver in the shaft. And I think it's up to 80-some feet, isn't it?
No, it's 63. And he's getting ready, and I'm sorry, Michael, I'm going to throw you out there under the bus. He's going to get ready to break that record again really soon.
Well, we'll have him on next week, and
he can get the details.
He can break the news.
Yeah.
So how did you get involved in golf then, in these golf tournaments? So just for fundraising?
I needed to get funds for the Warrior Companion. It cost me about $1,200 a year per animal. We now have 12 animals we cover. So we need like 25, 30 grand a year just to make sure that these veterans don't have to come up with any out-of-pocket expenses to take care of the service animal. And, of course, you know, health is important, not only for the veteran, but also for the service animal. And if the service animal is at 100% health, he's given 100% towards the veteran.
So how many golf tournaments do you do or have you done?
I've done 4 so far, and Michael has been part of one I did in Coral Springs, Florida. Michael and I have met about 5-6 years ago, and of course COVID happened. I was supposed to do one pre-COVID. And kind of screwed it up for us, you know, not having any type of being in the same realm of one another while we play golf. So Michael and I are actually going to be doing 2 of them this year. One we're going to be doing up in World Golf at the King and Bear Golf Course on June 5th. And then we're going to be going to Bear Creek out in Dallas, Texas, in his backyard. And we're going to be doing one on October 2nd.
Gotcha. So you're going to do 3 this year?
We're doing 2 for sure, and possibly a third one here in between somewhere.
Gotcha. Well, I know that he is immersed in golf tournaments, and John Rager up in Crescent Beach. I think we can convince you to get over there on June 5th and hang out and have some fun.
Well, Doc, it's a pleasure to meet you on the air here, and I can tell you that where you're going to have the event is in my backyard, but the World Golf Village is just an outstanding place to play golf. But the King and the Bear, those are the 2 courses the World Golf Village has that are outstanding tracks. I mean, they call it the King and the Bear for our listeners out there because Arnold Palmer was known as the King and Jack Nicklaus was known as the Bear, and they collaborated together to create the King and the Bear course at the World Golf Village. And I know that the World Golf Hall of Fame is going to be here only for like the rest of this year, and then next year it'll be up at Pinehurst. But the facilities up there are just absolutely outstanding. I know there's Bill Murray's Caddyshack bar and grill up there that anybody goes and plays golf, sees the World Golf Hall of Fame, plays those golf courses. But tell us a little bit more about your tournament. I know it's Monday, June 5th. I see the entry fee is $190 for a single, $710 for a foursome, 1 o'clock shotgun. What kind of format do you guys play? What kind of fun do you have during your tournament?
So, you know, we're going to do shotgun, of course. And you know, it's, we want to try to get as many golfers out there as possible. I'd like to fill the field. It's going to be my first one there.
Well, you'll fill it for sure being up in this area, and we'll do as much as we can to get the word out and promote it to the local golf scene up here. And, I noticed that you do Bear Creek also in Texas. I remember talking to Michael first on the radio for the first time, and he was at your tournament down in Bear Creek. And if, for him to come here to this event and maybe break another world record, set another world record, Guinness World Record, is going to be something that people need to just come play in the tournament just to see that.
Yeah, for sure. I'm really excited. Michael's like, I love him. He's like my brother from another mother. We're months apart on our birthdays, and that the man is just an inspirational. He's always has my back. And I'm really excited to have him part as my family, and I'm really excited to have him part as Warrior Companion. And you know, he does cheat for charity. So if you want to go out there and, you know, really want to spend some money, you can win the Warrior Golf Challenge that we have going on June 5th. It just takes a little bit of money.
Well, I tell you what, we're looking forward to. How do people reach out to you?
WarriorCompanion.com. You could go on WarriorGolf.us to sign up, and we'd love to see you out there. And we're really excited about being in at the King and Bear in Florida. That'd be our first course here in Florida that we're doing, other than I did in Coral Springs back in May.
We'll be talking to you on the show over the airwaves several times. In the meantime, we'll talk to Michael Furs next week. We'll keep this thing alive. We'll get it on our social media. You've got our back on this, brother. I assure you that.
And
incredible cause. Mind. Anything we can do for our veterans, and you know, you just met Keith. We do three or four other events that we assist with, and John Daly's event, of course, with.
I can't believe our coffee got lost in that. What do you call it?
Oh, when I got the notice from UPS, it had been just mangled.
Yeah. I don't know how it got mangled, but okay.
Well,
I think they liked it so much that they probably
and the UPS. And the UPS. Okay. All right, my man. Well, stick around. I'll be on the air a couple hours. I don't know what you guys' plans are, but I appreciate you coming down. And pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure, and thank you for inviting me. And I'm happy to be here.
All right, my friend. You guys can sit tight if you want, or I'll meet you at the bar in between shows.
All right, sounds good.
All right, now let's switch gears, John Rager. You know how we roll. We got Mark Egli there from Des Moines, Iowa, and all this talk of late on this Netflix production that everybody's going crazy about. And Mark has a cameo appearance in it. He's Mark Egli. He's PGA of America teaching pro. Of course, he's been on the show several times. Long time friend of mine, and I appreciate taking time on I think it's a blustery day in the great state of Iowa, isn't it, my man?
Yes, but there's still people calling me to open up today.
What's the temperature?
Well, it's going to be 40 degrees after 2 o'clock, so I might go out for a couple hours, but I like sitting right here and watching Nelly Korda play, and I'll be watching Zach here this afternoon down there in Florida. I don't know if you noticed, but he's playing well this week down there.
Oh, yeah. I've been watching every day, in fact. Great to see him on that leaderboard.
It's great to see him. I think it'll be a tough year for him because he's so preoccupied with his captain role with the Ryder Cup, but I think he can still perform at the highest level. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he can get done today.
Hey, Mark, this is John Rager, and
hi, John.
Mike was, hey, that's good to see you today or hear from you. Actually, yep. We can't see you on the radio. But Mike was telling me a little bit earlier this week about your cameo role on the Netflix series, The Swing. And for our listeners out there, if you follow Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn, you'll see the John Rager Report. We cover golf, travel, and lifestyle. And one of the things we featured last week was the much-anticipated Netflix release of The Swing. And the critics chimed in on it, and we were talking about how it's been very well received. It's one of those shows that shows a lot of reality about the tour pros that you don't normally see. But Mike was telling me you had a role in that. Just tell us a little bit about your role in that Netflix series.
We just finished up lunch after Friday's round, and I'm standing by the locker, and Sean's just doing his thing. And I'd spoken with Ian Poulter a few times, or rather he spoke to me. And Sean calls me up this week and said, somebody says we're in this new Netflix thing. And I said, I got no clue what you're talking about. He goes, when were we with Ian Poulter? I said, I don't know, here or there. He was it in 2018 or was it at the PGA this year? And I said, I don't know. He goes, well, Derek said, you're standing right there and there's Ian. And I had to, then the next thing you know, I've got hundreds of people saying, hey, is that you in the Netflix? Is that you? And I said, well, I guess it must be. They sent somebody took a snapshot and sent it to Sean and I. And yeah, that's us sitting there. So I finally, on Friday night last night, I started watching it. And I watched all 7 episodes all the way through. And I can't believe I could tell you that I am recommending a Netflix miniseries. It was absolutely spectacular. And I probably wrote my longest Facebook post ever because I did it during the 7 hours I'm watching this miniseries. And it was really, 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 really good, in my opinion. And yes, that was Sean and I.
The length of your post, by the way.
Yeah, went over pretty well. I've been so busy with this medical project, and Mike and John, it's going spectacular these days that I haven't done the usual job I did with posting things we've done, the accomplishments we've had. And I figured it was time. I sat up all Friday night. I went to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning just because I wanted to watch the series. And I figured if I'm going to be watching TV, I could do a nice review of 2022. So I hope people think it was one of my better works because I've never put 7 hours into a Facebook post before.
Hey, Mark, watching the Netflix series, one of the things I noticed, it didn't seem staged at all. It just seems like they turned the cameras on and, and just followed them around and did some things and caught some interesting moments. I did notice, though, that they had ample use of colorful metaphors, and it might be one of those things you put the kids to bed before you turn that on television and binge watch it. But what was your most impressive? What struck you most about this series? What's the one moment out there that you watched that you thought, hey man, that's something that the average person just would never get exposure to?
John, in our days of competing at the highest level, I had so much fun, you can't believe it. And in all the years I was able to play out there, I never was that successful, but it was such a blast playing. Then you see the magnitude of these guys, of the pressure they're under. Listening to Brooks Koepka talk about his putting struggles, young Mr. Dahman, I totally admire him now. And watching Tony Finau, his story was exceptional. I don't know, Mike, if you know, but I think Tony's dad went to school here at Southeast Polk in Altoona.
And Tony Finau's dad was a Southeast Polk Ram?
I think so. Somebody that's a reliable source to me said, oh, yeah, he was in my class for a while.
Wow. Yeah, so, I can't believe that one slipped by us, but that's a nice factoid there, Mark.
Yeah, but well, you want another factoid? I think you were talking about the golf programs here. Yeah, in the session before, you know, I got on. The Warrior Golf thing got started by a Sergeant Jim Dickerson, who taught at the University of Iowa, and he became the national PGA award winner for that. So it was nice listening in for a few minutes talking about the Warrior Golf, because yeah, that's really, really critical to our community across our 50 United States. But it's kind of nice we have this Iowa connection with you down in Florida now. But Tony Finau's session on the Netflix was exceptional. And the idea of having family out there. I was fortunate to spend some time with Jordan Spieth's parents and down there at the PGA in Tulsa, and seeing stories of the Thomases and Jordan Spieth. I really like Jordan trying to do a commercial, and you get to see, the public gets to see, and that's what I really like the most. It's not like a quick interview, but they were showing Jordan being in the middle of doing a commercial and having him look around the room. He goes, "Hey, everybody, I'm not an expert at this. Can you help me and get me through this and teach me, and don't be bashful about criticizing?" Then you get to see how really good a guys some of these young gentlemen are. And I will go back and watch it again with, you know, believe it or not, we watch a movie once and then we see it a second time and a third time. We keep seeing more than we did the first time. And this is one that I will rewatch here in the, we get a snow day or something like that in the near future here in Iowa. I just think it was one of the best pieces done on golf because it was legitimate. And then the camera in the locker room, when I told Sean, I never saw a camera in the locker room. So how they got that, I have no clue. But it was really nice to be in it because it had friends from across the country chime in, and it led to a lot of the renewing some of the friendships that I've had in my days as a professional golfer.
We know, Mark, I think one of the things that
we're having a conversation with Mark Egli as he have you got any checks, I guess, as we talk about the swing? When do the royalty checks start coming in, do you think?
Well, I did a little clip, and you know, I didn't just do the few moments that we were in there. I did a 2.5-minute spiel because I used to not like Ian Poulter. And just being at the PGA and him being, you know, open and gracious to me as I stood there. You know, there's times where you and I have done radio talk shows. Our job is to talk. But in those environments, my job is to not talk. It's like the old rule with kids, speak when spoken to. And that's what I really liked, is that Ian spoke out. And I mentioned we have a caddy here from Iowa that caddies for Maverick McNealy on tour, by the name of McAllister, and he was in a locker right there. And it was really nice that these guys, when they're in the peaceful mode and they don't have people asking them questions, it's nice to hear them talk on their terms. And that's what I liked about the series, is it had these PGA professionals talking on their own terms. And it was just such a joy.
Well, you know, Mark, that's a very good insight there, I think, because if you talk about golf in general, one of the knocks on American golfers have been, especially during the time of Ryder Cup years, is that they don't have the same camaraderie that the European Tour players have. And I think what this documentary brought out was the fact that there is camaraderie out there, and it could be good, it could be bad, but there is a lot of it. The average person doesn't see it. With the advent of social media and all the things out there, there's so many controversial things that pop up. But this one, I think, captured that there is a lot of camaraderie out there. I know you have swing coaches and psychologists and all kinds of entourages that travel with these players. But when it boils down to it, just between the players themselves, it's nice to have a camera and a microphone and try to capture some sincerity and genuine interaction and some camaraderie that people don't realize it still does exist out there on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, two big things that I'll address on that is I loved how the series addressed the Live Golf. And while I was at the PGA Championship, I did not say one word, ask one question. And you saw that we were there. I spent a lot of time with Zach that week. Spent some time with, as you saw, with Jim Nance and Eric Church and his wife. And it was that kind of conversation you're speaking of, John, that we're talking about, of camaraderie. And there was a time that I knew Zach's position on LIV Golf. And there's not a chance in the world that he was going to go to that entity because of faith and loyalty to the PGA Tour. And we spent a little bit of time with Tiger. There's no way that he was going to turn his back on the entity that allowed him to become great. And seeing what McIlroy and Tiger are doing with the Little League or something like that, with a golf course or a facility they broke ground on recently, that's nice to see that the PGA and the PGA Tour is going to work with its players to take things to the next level. And I don't know if you guys recently heard that Bryson DeChambeau and who's the gentleman I just spoke about that won two U.S. Opens in a row, John? Brooks Koepka.
Brooks Koepka, Florida State kid.
They're getting along now. Have you either of you guys heard that?
They're getting along.
They are getting along. And that's one of the things nice about the Netflix thing. My tour buddies have called me and talked about it that, hey, you can't believe it, but because in 2018, I never said a word. DeChambeau never said a word to me, but Sean and I just observed some, you know, bizarre physics stuff. And I'm a physics guy, and I really kept my mouth shut on that one. And DeChambeau and Brooks happened to win down there that week in St. Louis at Belle Reve. And I couldn't imagine in my wildest dream those two would ever get along. But you know what happens? You start playing the game of golf. Whether you're a PGA Tour player or two guys at a public course in Lakeland, Florida, next thing you know, after you've played a few holes, you start seeing the good side of people. And that's what's so great about golf is, whether you're a pro, an amateur, we can be friends. We can have things that we like, and we can have things we disagree on. And that's such a wonderful thing about our game. You see it every day, don't you, John?
Well, that's one of the things that is hurting the game of golf in some ways, as far as the perception of the PGA Tour and LIV Golf. And everybody wants to take a side. Everybody wants the virtue signal. A lot of that's just gotten out of hand. When it boils down to it, yes, there's professional golf out there. I was happy to see that the four major championships out there are going to go ahead. You know, the Masters and the Open and the U.S. Open and the PGA are going to have, you know, LIV golfers in the field. It's just sometimes, you're right, it's time to sometimes let's get down to the grassroots here. It is the game of golf, and it's something that builds character, and it's something that people can enjoy and get along. And it is funny to see them both get along now. But at the same time, hey, they're in the same boat now. You know, they're representing their organization, and it's time for them to get along and move on. But I hope that the world of golf doesn't keep this taking sides and keep this war going between LIV Golf and the PGA Tour.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. You guys are the news guys. Have you heard anything about any guys going to LIV Golf or anybody disenchanted wanting to come back to the PGA Tour?
Well, I think he just had Thomas Peters join this week, but I haven't. I've heard rumors of it. I've seen rumors of it on social media.
Somebody's losing John. Can you hear me, Mark?
I can hear you just fine.
Yeah, we keep fading in and out with John Rager. Yeah, Brooks Koepka, I had heard of late, was having a little bit of remorse, apparently.
Yeah. Can I tell you a little Brooks story from the PGA Championship that will make you like him even more?
I need that.
Okay. I do have a YouTube clip of Brooks Koepka and Sean McCarty hitting balls out. They're the only two who could hit balls out of the range at the PGA Championship down in St. Louis. But Brooks is just sitting there talking to his caddy or his buddy. And it, you know, this one of those moments. And Sean McCarty's son, Mac, likes Brooks Koepka better than his dad as a golfer. You know, one of those things, how can you love your dad and have somebody else? Well, it's just the way kids are. But I knew Mac just thought the world of Brooks Koepka. And so when I stepped out on the range, and Brooks and I had seen each other during the week, and I said, Brooks, I hope it's not too much of an intrusion, but my player's son over here, you are his number one player on the PGA Tour. Would you mind taking a minute meeting him? And he walks over to Mac, and Sean had finished second in the National Club Pro and was on the Golf Channel. He goes, you don't have to introduce me. He goes, how you doing, Mac? I watched you and your dad when your dad was out there in California. And you talk about a kid just, you can see his knees shaking that his superhero knew his name and was that cordial and that nice. They just sat there and talked. And then when Sean finally got there, 5-10 minutes later, we did some videos of them just both launching balls. And it's got quite a few views on YouTube. But I, from that moment on, Brooks Koepka became somebody that I became a real fan of. As he comes back to the PGA Tour.
Now you converted me, Mark Egli. Hey, we only got a few minutes left, guys. So, Mark, I want to thank you for sharing. We'll have you on often, obviously. I love our conversations. We're going to need an update. I'm sure John Rager agrees. We're going to need an update on your medical progress with your research here, another show. But today it was great to get your opinion on the experience with the swing. And now that you brought Brooks Koepka up about 10 bars with me, I won't badmouth him anymore. I promise you.
Awesome. I have been enjoying being here today. And John, it's good hearing your voice again. And Mike, thanks for having me on today.
Stay warm up there, Mark.
Oh, I will.
All right. Well, John Rager, we got about a minute for you.
Well, I'm just going to wrap it up real quick. Just remind our listeners, John Rager Report, Golf, Travel, and Lifestyle. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And, link throughout the week. Read the articles. Listen to us every Saturday. Mike, it's been a pleasure to be on this week. Enjoyed Mark. Enjoyed the Warrior Golf U.S. And looking forward to next week. And just want to remind our listeners, yank and crank, everybody. Yank and crank.
Hey, I'm looking forward to seeing you down here at the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios in the Carrollwood Country Club. We'll have a good time, my man.
Well, that'd be fantastic.
Oh, and we forgot to give LIV. Paul Casey's on top of that leaderboard. We don't want people to think we're sliding them. Paul Casey on top of that leaderboard, brought to you by Sea Dogs. So from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, I'm Mike Rickett for Gary McNally, John Rager, Doc, Mark Egli, Joe Boudreau, and Matt on the controls. Thanks for listening on the tee, Florida. Stay tuned for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. And as always, God bless you. God bless America. Always remember to keep it in the short grass and hit them straight.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.